For some, peace is hard to find and hard to get. Listen today to find out where it is and how to have it. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
The world will tell you, you know, man, you're having a hard time. Let me tell you what you need to do. After work, you just need to go to the bar, and then you can take a drink, and that'll just take the edge off. See, that's what the world has. It has a shot of peace, a glass of peace, some kind of pill of peace, but it's not real peace. It's superficial and it's fragile and it makes you feel good for a moment, but it doesn't last. Now, the Lord's peace is lasting. It's deep. It's unshakable. It's not dependent on circumstances.
He can heal every scar.
The world can't have peace because they're looking for peace in all the wrong places. Real peace only comes from the Lord. But here's the sad truth. Many of us, even as believers in Jesus, don't experience peace like He wants us to experience it. We know the Lord, but we don't experience the blessings of the Lord, and we don't experience the blessings of peace. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. And today's message is entitled, The Lord of Peace. Are you truly experiencing the Lord's peace in your life? Today, you'll learn three truths about the Lord of Peace that will be an incredible blessing to you if you'll take them to heart. The message is one of eight in Pastor Jeff's series, The Church in the Last Days. It's our thank you gift for your support this month. You can find out more when you go to fromhisheart.org. Now though, open your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 as Pastor Jeff begins the last message in the Church in the Last Days series. Let's embrace the Lord of Peace.
Hey, are you experiencing peace today? You know, we live in a world where peace is not found. People look for peace. They long for peace. I still recall the interview that Barbara Walters did years ago with Richard Dreyfuss, when his movie Mr. Holland's Opus came out and he was up for the Actor of the Year or Best Actor Award or whatever, and she interviewed him and the question came, Richard, what do you want more than anything else in your life? And he said, peace, peace. And he had tried finding peace in fame, couldn't find it, tried finding peace in drugs and alcohol, couldn't find it. He longed for peace. Now the world can't have peace, because peace belongs to God. And the scripture says in the book of Isaiah, there is no peace for the wicked, declares my God. No peace for the wicked. Peace only comes from the Lord, and it comes from being right with God. And so the world can't have peace because they're looking for peace in all the wrong places. Peace comes from the Lord. But here's the sad truth. Many of us, as believers in Jesus, we don't experience peace like He wants us to experience it. We know the Lord, but we don't experience the blessings of the Lord, and we don't experience the blessings of peace. Hey, we're living in a time when things are very uneasy right now. The Thessalonians, as we've been studying this book, they lived at a time where things were very uneasy, were very difficult, so much so that they heard a false message that they had missed the rapture and they were in the day of the Lord and they were experiencing the wrath of God and everything was falling apart. And they said, well, yeah, it fits. That's what life is like for us. We must have missed the rapture. And God must have just said, well, forget you. You guys aren't doing very well, so I'm not going to deliver you. And so you're just going to go through this terrible, horrible time, the tribulation period. They believed that because it matched their circumstances. They were having a tough time. We today, so many of us, having a tough time. And so many people are so nervous and so tense and so fearful and so uneasy about what is coming up, what is in the future. We have COVID-19 that steals away people's sense of peace. They're afraid to get out, many of them. Not everyone, obviously, but many are. I said that once in a sermon I preached a few weeks ago in another church, and boy, I got a nasty letter from a lady that didn't like my sermon. She goes, well, how dare you say I'm afraid? I'm like, I don't even know who you are. So I didn't say you're afraid, but if the shoe fits, wear it. You know, I mean, a lot of preaching is if the shoe fits, wear it. You don't get mad at me. I'm just preaching the word of God. If it applies to you, then instead of getting mad at the preacher, search your own heart and say, God, what do I need to do about this? But there are lots of people, they're afraid of the coronavirus. Let me just give you a word of encouragement. In Bowie County, we have 93,000 people, 93,200 and something, based on the population I looked up on the internet just this week. We've had 71 people in Bowie County die from the coronavirus, either from or with, because we don't really know. I mean, it's a mixture of stuff. So if you look at that and do it as a percentage, the chances of you dying from the coronavirus are 0.076%. That's pretty good news. That's pretty low. You know the chances of you dying from a fall? I mean, you're in your home and you fall off a ladder or whatever. The chances of you dying from that, 0.78%. 10 times greater that you die from a fall than if you die from coronavirus. And you know the chances of you dying from heart disease or cancer? 14.28% chance that that's how you're going to die. So, hey, we don't need to be living in fear of anything, heart disease or falling or coronavirus. God doesn't want us to live like that. But the sad truth is many people are living that way. They're afraid. They're nervous. They're worried. They're bothered. And the Lord says, I want to change that. So in 2 Thessalonians, as he closes up the book, and the book is just, it's less than 50 verses. It's a short little book, but it's filled with great information. It tells us about the future. It tells us that the Lord is coming back. It tells us about the rise of Antichrist. It tells us about those who follow him. It tells us what the Lord does when he comes back and defeats him at the Battle of Armageddon. But then it gives us encouragement, and it says this, beginning in verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all. The Lord of peace himself, he wants to grant you peace. So here's the question that you need to answer for yourself and be honest. Are you truly experiencing the Lord's peace in your life? Now, when we talk about peace, there are two words. There's the Hebrew word for peace, shalom. Shalom, it's used all over and over and over. And then there's the Greek word for peace, eirene, which we get our English name Irene from eirene. And both of those words are very, very similar in what they mean. They mean that you have inner calm. You have tranquility. Your life, hey, things might be falling apart around you, but inside there is peace. God wants you and me to have shalom. He wants us to have peace. So let me share with you three truths from verses 16, 17, and 18 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Truth number one, the Lord is the source of peace. The Lord is the source of peace. The Good News Bible brings this out as it translates verse 16 this way. May the Lord himself, who is our source of peace, give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord himself, the Lord Jesus is our source of peace. The Bible says about him, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, tells us about the one who's going to come, whose name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That means he's captain of peace. He's the master of peace. He's the owner of peace. He's in charge of peace. That's who the Lord is. Now, peace is one of the Lord's divine attributes. We talk about the divine attributes of God. We know that the Lord is holy because we read in Isaiah 6 and Revelation 4 that the angels around the throne, day and night, they do not cease to say, they go back and forth. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. God is holy. We read in 1 John chapter 4, God is love. God is holy. God is love. God is good. Over and over in the Psalms, the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. God is just. God is merciful. God is kind. And God is peace. He is the embodiment of peace. Now, you look at the life of the Lord Jesus and you see this play out because he's God in the flesh. And God in the flesh is a God of peace. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. He's the God of peace. And when the Lord was walking this earth, he had much to do. He had many people grabbing onto him, wanting him, come here, Jesus, come over there, Jesus, do this, do that. He had people all the time after him. He had people, at night, he'd have to shoo the people away. They didn't want to leave. But Jesus was never late, and he was never in a hurry. He was always right on time, and he is never stressed out. He never bites off somebody's head because he's just got too much going on, and, Peter asked him one question too many, and wham, he just lets him have it. He doesn't ever do that. He's always at peace, and the picture of peace is when Jesus, Mark chapter 4, is in the ship, the boat, and they're going across the Sea of Galilee, and he's asleep in the boat, and a huge storm hits the Sea of Galilee, and there's the wind is blowing, and the waves are crashing into the boat, and the disciples thought they were going down, and Jesus is asleep in the boat. How in the world can you sleep through a storm like that? He's at perfect peace. He's not worried. He's not bothered about anything. Why? Because he's in control of everything. He's in control of everything. So he knows, hey, we're not going down. I know what's going to happen. We're going over to the other side. There's no reason to be afraid. I told you we were going over to the other side. He's in charge of all things. You know, one word that you never hear in the throne room of heaven is the word, oops. Isn't that good news? You don't ever hear that. That'd be pretty unnerving, wouldn't it? I mean, the angels are sitting around all of a sudden, Lord, whoops. Yeah, that's not good. You don't ever hear that because he does everything perfectly well. He is God. If the Lord could relive his ministry in Israel, he wouldn't do anything different because he does everything perfectly well. That's what the people said. He does all things well. And when you die and you go to heaven and you stand before God, you'll look at your life from his perspective and say, Lord, the way you worked in my life, you did it all perfectly well. That was just perfect. It was perfect. We don't see it that way now from this standpoint, but when we get there, we'll see that he did everything perfectly well. No oopses in heaven. He's the God who's in charge, the God who's in control. And because he's in control, he has peace. And you and I can have peace. Psalm 46, verse 10, cease striving, let go, relax, be still, and know that I am God. I'm in charge of it all. I am the Prince of Peace. I'm the Master of it all. I'm the Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So the Lord's peace is one of his divine attributes. And the Lord's peace is far different from the world's peace. You know, everybody wants to have peace. Everybody, saved and lost, they want to have peace. And the world offers peace, but it's far different from the way the Lord offers peace. The world's peace is fragile. It's contrived. It's superficial. It's just going to be a veneer of peace. You know, it's the difference between solid wood and veneer over particle board. You know, veneer over particle board, it looks like the real thing, but it's not. You put a screw to veneer over particle board and you figure out, this is just sawdust kind of pasted together. This isn't solid. This isn't real. God offers real peace. The world offers veneer over particle board. It's not the real thing. And we have companies that try and jump on the bandwagon knowing that everybody has a gnawing ache in their heart for peace, for a sense of calm over their things and over their family and over their jobs and over their finances. We long for that and we're trying to control it all. And so what do? We buy insurance. And Allstate says, hey, you buy Allstate, you're in good hands. So you can rest because you're in good hands with Allstate until you have a claim and they say, who are you? Not really. No slam on Allstate agents. But Prudential, they have a picture of the Rock of Gibraltar and they say, get a piece of the rock. Boy, if you come with us, then you're solid, you're safe, you're secure. And they're selling that, trying to sell an assurance and a peace and a calm that if you invest with them, if you do your insurance with them, that it's going to give you the peace that you long for. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but that's what the world is selling. And the world will tell you, you know, man, you're having a hard time. Let me tell you what you need to do. After work, you just need to go to the bar, and then you can take a drink, and that'll just take the edge off. You ever hear people say that? Well, I'm really stressed out. I need a drink, or I need a double, because that's going to take the edge off. That's going to calm my nerves. And it does do that, but it's superficial. It's not a lasting peace. It makes you feel good for a little while, and then when that wears off, the problem is typically worse, because now you don't all just have the problem. You have the problem plus the alcohol problem, and it makes it worse. Now, when I was in my early 30s, I had an accident playing basketball. I jumped up to block a guy's shot, and when I did, the patella tendon in my knee, that thick tendon under your kneecap, that snapped. Nobody hit me or anything. It just snapped, and it's not supposed to do that. I heard it. It sounded like someone slammed a drawer, and the pain was intense, and I fell down in a heap. Well, I knew something was seriously wrong. I couldn't walk, and I had to walk backwards. I had to just drag my leg like this because I had to keep it straight. Otherwise, it would hurt so bad. And so I went to the doctor. My doctor was from Baghdad, Iraq, and he was a good guy. I liked him a lot. He's a good surgeon. His bedside manner was a little suspect because he was kind of blunt. And so I had some friends of mine that officed with him, and they said, oh, we'd hear him all the time. He'd be in the exam room talking to this lady, and she'd be like, oh, my knee hurts so bad. He goes, you need to have your knee replaced, but I can't do it because you're too fat. You're too fat. You go lose weight. I come back. I fix your knee. I mean, that's just... And this lady told me, she goes, I heard him say that over and over and over. These women would come to us, and they'd be like, he's so mean. It's like, well, you lose a few. Anyway... I knew I messed up my knee, and I did some research, and so I was pretty sure I knew what had happened. So he's looking at it. I said, what do you think? He goes, what do you think? I said, I think I tore my patella tendon. He said, me too. I said, yeah. I said, well, I'm supposed to go out of town for a sales conference, this trip that I won. He goes, you can't. You need to have surgery. I said, okay. And I said, when do I have to have surgery? He said, this week. He said, well, let's do it tomorrow. Like, okay. I said, they're going to hurt? He said, you bet. He wasn't lying. It hurt. So bad, it hurt. And so I wake up from surgery, and Debbie was saying, hey, they didn't let us go back there for a long time. And I was asking them, hey, isn't this over with? The surgery was about 3 hours. And they said, no, you can't go see him. We're having trouble managing his pain. And I was just in misery. My knee hurt so bad. They took me to my room, and I was just couldn't think straight. My knee hurt so bad. And I told Debbie, I said, Debbie, please do something here. Help me. And so she went to the nurses, and she said, hey, you got to give him some medicine to help him with his pain. They said, we gave him all the pain medicine we could give him. She goes, you get the doctor on the phone, and you tell him that he needs more medicine. They said, we don't want to do that. She said, we're doing that. And so the nurse came into my room with a syringe filled with peace. It was a syringe of morphine. And she gave me a shot of morphine. And in about 10 minutes, the world was right again. I mean, this is like, wow. But she had to come in every 4 hours to give me the shot of morphine. See, that's what the world has. It has a shot of peace, a glass of peace, some kind of pill of peace. But it's not real peace. It's superficial and it's fragile. And it makes you feel good for a moment. But it doesn't last. Now, the Lord's peace is lasting. It's deep. It's unshakable. It's not dependent on circumstances. Now, may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. So the Lord is the source of peace. Truth number two, the Lord wants to give you his peace. Well, that's a great truth. That's a great encouragement. The Lord would want to give me his peace. That's Paul's prayer for them, that the Lord would grant you, continually grant you peace in every circumstance. Jesus said that last night with his disciples in John chapter 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. His perfect peace, he says, I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. The Lord doesn't want our hearts troubled. He doesn't want our hearts fearful. He wants us to keep our eyes fixed on him and to walk with him and to trust him and to cease striving and be still and relax and know that he is God. Now you mark it down. His peace is a gift to those who follow him. It's not like the Nobel Peace Prize that only is going to come to one guy a year, and that guy has to be the cream of the cream of the cream of the crop. The Lord's peace is not like that. He offers it to anyone who will follow after him, who will trust him, who will walk in the light with him. He says in Psalm 85, verse 8, I will hear what God the Lord will say, for he will speak peace to his people, to his godly ones, but let them not turn back to folly. So do you want peace? It's available in Jesus. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be fearful. And not only is his peace a gift to those who follow him, but his peace is always available in every circumstance. In every circumstance, no matter what you're going through in life, his peace is available for you.
But exactly how is that possible? Are you wondering about that? Well, you're listening to the message, The Lord of Peace, and Pastor Jeff Shreve will have part two tomorrow to reveal more about how to find it, enjoy it, and share the peace that only Jesus can bring. Now, this lesson is one of eight in Pastor Jeff's new and timely series entitled, The Church in the Last Days. As the end times approach, we'll only be able to endure its coming by having the peace of God. In Paul's letters to the Thessalonians, he talks about the signs of the times, the rapture and the rise of the Antichrist. In order to live an effective and peaceful Christian life, we need to keep the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and the return of Christ on the forefront of our minds and hearts. In this new series, he shares the good news of the return of the King and how we are to live a life of peaceful expectation, for our blessed hope is coming soon. This series is also our gift of thanks to you this month for your support of any amount from His Heart. Just call 866-40-BIBLE to make your gift and request the series. 866-40-BIBLE. Or go online to fromhisheart.org. The series is available on CDs, a USB flash drive, or as an immediate MP3 download. Pastor Jeff receives no income from this ministry. All you give goes directly to help us share these timely messages to a lost and a dying world. Thanks again for what you can do to join this outreach each day on this and hundreds of great stations committed to sharing the good news. God bless you. We also hope when you visit our website each day, you'll be able to hear the daily Real Hope Minute from Pastor Jeff. Sign up for the weekly Real Hope email encouragement letter that you'll get every Friday morning in your inbox, or download an MP3 of any broadcast you may have missed. Again, that's fromhisheart.org. Well, I'm Larry Nobles, and you have our sincere thanks for joining us today, and we trust that you'll be here tomorrow as Pastor Jeff continues describing how God makes his peace available to us all. Don't miss the conclusion of The Lord of Peace on Wednesday, when we'll again open up God's Word and share real truth, love, and hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. remember that no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at FromHisHeart.org.